Good morning, everyone. Would you please be seated for our announcements? I don't have too many announcements this morning. Summer is here and things slow down a bit, but there is one parish project that I'd like to draw your attention to, and that is the school supply project. Laura is the one to talk to. We thought maybe doing a blessing of the backpacks in the fall might be a fun thing, and through our contacts and our connections, we've found a couple of schools that need things like sports supplies and calculators and other things. They were delighted to partner with us to see if we could supply that for some of the students. So if you want to find out what this is about, talk to Laura after the service. And a great place to do that would be out in the garden, because there are refreshments after the service and you are all welcome and invited to stay for that. The other thing that I'd like to do is just to say thank you to all those who are involved in the gardening at the parish. The work that they do on a Tuesday morning to keep the place looking beautiful is wonderful. It is noticed and appreciated, and thank you very much. So with that, let us stand and lift our hearts to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open. And let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, has taught us that what we do for the least of your children, we do also for him. Give us the will to serve others as he was the servant of all, who gave up his life and died for us, but lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in body or out of body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Come my way, my truth, my life, such a way as gives us breath. Such a truth as ends all strife, such a life as killeth death. Come, my light, my feast, my strength, such a light as shows the feast, such a feast as mends in length, such a strength as makes his guest. Come, my joy, my love, my heart, such a joy as none can move, such a love as none can part, such a heart as joys in love. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deeds of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages, teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out, two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. And if any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that was on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. How many of you know that Paul, the author of our first reading today, is one of the most snarkiest people you've ever read? No, it's true. If you could read satire or sarcasm into the text, it would be exponential. One of my favorite writings of his is the letter to the Philemons, which is only 4 pages in the back of the scriptures. We never get to it, but it's a story of Paul writing to an owner of a former slave that he's sending Estimus, this slave, back to his former master. And the letter is dripping in sarcasm. It's like, I know that you must have been so upset by losing your slave, but he's become a brother to me. And so when he goes back, I'm sure he'll be more than just a slave to you. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Paul is doing something very similar in this passage. He is writing to the Corinthians who's had a visit from what he's nicknamed the super apostles. They've come in and they've proven themselves to the Corinthian church because they have visions and they've got signs of power and look at all my nice fancy robes and clothes. So clearly I'm the one that should be up here giving the sermon and not somebody sitting in the back. Paul is wrestling with these people who've come in and have made all of these claims of grandeur and authority that they're the ones that should be listened to. And so Paul is going off on this whole speech about boasting. And how boasting in strength, if you wanted to, he could have done that because he's got everything. He's a Roman citizen. He's a descendant of Abraham. He's got all of these things going for him. But instead, he chooses to boast in weakness. He even makes a comment of, I knew somebody, like I have a friend, clearly he's talking about himself, who is taken up into the third heaven. On Wednesday, for our Eucharistic service, everyone was asking, what's the third heaven? I'll figure it out and I'll get back to you on Sunday. I don't know. And I think that's the point. Paul's like, I went to the third heaven. And everyone else is like, there's three? What? And so he's like, I know things. I've got all these things that I should boast in and that you could listen to. You should be listening to me because of all these things. But I'm not going to put that forward. Instead, I'm going to put forward weakness and humility. And what an incredible thing to do. There's a certain amount of expectation that we have of our leaders and of ourselves, that we present ourselves and that we live in life in a certain way. And if the rector of St. James Westminster was preparing for this Sunday in the Memorial Garden and noticed the fountain was empty and then went to turn on the fountain but sprayed himself completely with water and is now very damp and uncomfortable giving this sermon, that's not something that you'd expect somebody to mention or announce out loud. But it happened. There's a point that in our weaknesses, we can be more connected with each other and more truly united as a community than we can through any great strength or great deed. Some of you may know that I am absolutely the worst speller that you could imagine. My spelling is atrocious. One time I submitted a resume that said I was a naval chaplain for a while, not spelt like the Navy, but spelt like the naval belly button. Still got that job, by the way. But in our weaknesses, we find people with strength around us to come and support. We are not in this on our own. We are a church, a community that is built up by each other's strengths. And it's only when we can admit our weaknesses that we can take a place as walking alongside one another. In our gospel reading, we hear about Jesus entering his hometown. A place where you'd expect people to trust him and to know him and to lift him up, but instead it was the opposite. They were expecting something of Jesus. Isn't this the carpenter? Don't we know that time that he pulled his sister's hair? These very human things. And they couldn't see the truth of the divine in him in that point. And I think it's true for us as well. When we look at one another in this place, when we look at other Christians, other human beings, we often put them in a little box that's familiar and comfortable instead of seeing the divine in them. God works not through our strengths, but through our weaknesses. One of the most powerful images that has stuck with me are the images of the clay jars. If you put a candle inside a clay jar and cover it with a lid, you'd have no idea that the candle is inside it. But if that clay jar was cracked or had a chunk missing, that's where the light shines out. And I think that's true in our spiritual lives as well. God doesn't shine out through our strengths or through how awesome we are. God shines out through our ability to accept each other's weaknesses and to not hide them, but to admit our faults and to turn time and time again to God, trusting, knowing that we are loved just as we are, flaws and all. And that through that, through those moments of weaknesses or pain or struggling, God can transform us and through us the world around. And so let us risk being vulnerable. Let us risk sharing our weaknesses as well as our strengths with one another. And let us be willing to build up one another so that we may truly be the family of Christ. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? And let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in Would the congregation adopt a position of prayer for the prayers of the people?
Please join with the following response. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. We will sing praises to our God. God of grace, you fill your church with diverse gifts. Inspire all who teach and expound the scriptures. Fill us with a vision of your glory. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. We will sing praises to our God. God of grace, you raised up great leaders from among your people. Give to all in authority the wisdom and strength they need to match the hour. Direct all nations in the paths of righteousness and truth. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. We will sing praises to our God. God of grace, the 12 were sent out relying on hospitality to sustain them. Open the hearts of all to share of your bountiful goodness. Make our communities places of welcome and care. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. We will sing praises to our God. God of grace, the 12 were sent out to anoint the sick. Pour out your healing spirit on all in need. In our weakness, may the power of your Christ dwell within us. Today we pray especially for Anna, Eunice, Sylvia, Robert, Ashley, Gavin, Catherine, Judy, Carolyn, John and Nancy, Dave and Beth. God of grace, Jesus knew the love of family and friends. Be with all who mourn the loss of someone close. We entrust all who have died into the hope of your life and love. It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
We will sing praises to our God.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand? The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share that peace with one another. Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, receive our sacrifice of praise and strengthen us for the perfect freedom of your service through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. In our unending joy, we echo on earth the song of the angels in heaven, and we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we obey his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine, We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whomever believes in me will never thirst. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. my soul with gladness. Leave the gloomy haunts of sadness. Come into the daylight splendor. There with joy your praises
gifts your hands have given.
Let us pray. O God, may we who have shared in holy things never fail to serve you in your world, and so come to the fullness of joy. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, support us all the day long in this troublous life, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, and the busy world is hushed, and the fever of life is over, and our work is done. Then, Lord, in thy mercy, grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest, and peace at the last. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship has come to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.